This show is produced and hosted by Mark Weber. The show is sponsored by G3 Apparel. The views expressed in the following program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinion of 710 WOR or iHeartMedia. Who is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. From the New York City projects to the Avenue Montaigne in Paris, his global success story in the luxury world of fashion is inspirational. He's gone from clerk to CEO twice. Mark is classic proof that the American dream is alive and well. Here's your host of Always in Fashion, Mark Weber.
I've been thinking about not thinking. It's my prerogative. I don't want to. I've been thinking, don't try and pin me down now that I'm at it. Don't even think about trying to make plans with me. I won't meet you anywhere at any time. You have a better chance bumping into me on the street. I'm at a point in my life that I want to be free. Free to do what I want, with whom I want, when I want. I can't be forced, threatened, pushed into anything. At the same time, I refuse to make decisions. It's impossible for me to make up my mind. It wasn't always this way. As a corporate CEO, a thousand decisions a day, a million a week, on the fly, on the go, instantaneous. It's the job to decide and take action. Educated decisions, you analyze the situation, you think it through, consider the options, the alternatives, you make a decision, you execute. Every day in our personal lives, we make decisions. As leaders, workers, parents, or children, we're decisive. You have to be to get things done, to put them behind you, to move on to the next challenge. The world doesn't wait for no one. The next idea cannot be held up, can't be put in a bottle for later. Ideas are born and they're meant to happen. But we do live on sound bites, social media, fast-paced lives. We do make up our minds. Me? Not so much. I'm kicking and screaming to be left alone. I hate having to make phone calls. I hate even more having to make follow-up phone calls. Hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. I work at my own pace. I go where I want to go, when I want to go. I travel alone. I stop where I want to eat, where I want to eat, and at what time of my choosing. There's no negotiations. I do what I want. Now, as I've grown up, I realize, in spite of me and my wishes to slow the world down, distance myself, dictate the terms, it just isn't going to happen. I can dally, I can meander, I can try and avoid the inevitable. I'm a golfer. Tell the starter that I don't have a tee time reserved. Then I become a watcher. I won't be playing. Mark, you need an answer. Make up your mind. A business meeting, you pick a date, you set the time. At home, you need groceries. They won't replenish themselves. Money doesn't grow on trees. Pennies don't come from heaven in spite of the song. They need to be earned here on earth. You want a job? Want to stay employed? Want to prosper? You need to make well-educated, thought-out decisions. You want success? Make up your mind. At home, your family or your significant other, their patience will only go so far. Jesse often asks, Daddy, where do you want to have dinner? What time are you getting to the studio today, Daddy? We're recording tonight. What you want to talk about? We, including me, to make up our minds is not a good thing at this time. But what's on my mind tonight? The little things. The big things. Same church, different pew. Making quality decisions requires thought and planning before you can make up your mind. During my career, I was often astounded at the decisions management made and told me this is how it's going to be. Whether I agreed or not, instantaneously you have to make a choice and you have to respond. Your body language, your facial expressions, your response. You're making up your mind to be either a team player or not, to support the direction of your boss or go find another job, understand the company position or lose. You have to make up your mind to do the right thing. And if you don't agree, well, stiff upper lip, live to fight another day. That's the politics. I can tell you uncategorically, I was not good at the politics until my hair started to turn to gray. With that gray hair came some measure of wisdom. And from the first day of my career, I did make up my mind to find success. Through the course of my career, I made it by trying to think through the options, to make sure that when my mind is made up, my decisions were right. Tonight, This show is Make Up Your Mind. Having said this, there are 6 billion people on this planet, and I did make up my mind to find the best choice for a lawyer, co-host, my son, Jesse Weber. Jesse, can you make up your mind?
Before I even get to that, I feel like you didn't have much of a choice. Were you not going to make me your co-host? Who else would have been your co-host?
I didn't need one. I was flying solo, like I do with everything else.
I just happened to be in there. I kind of went in.
It turned out to be one of the great decisions of my life, but I'm self-sufficient. I can do things by myself. If it wasn't you, I'd prefer to be by myself.
Well, okay, I could see that. I could see that. Can I make up my mind? I think that's a good question, but about what?
About anything.
I think this is a little ridiculous. I have to make up my mind on a zillion things every day, don't you?
You know those cartoons, like where they have a cloud over the character's head and typed in is what he's thinking about? My cloud is empty.
Again, back to ridiculous. If ever somebody in this world had a million things going on in their head, I think it's you. You can try and avoid the world as much as you want, but the world doesn't avoid you. Making up your mind, it's like breathing. You have to do it. There's always something on your mind. We do it constantly without even acknowledging what we're thinking about, but we're thinking about anything.
Exactly, Jesse. But I have a question. If it's instantaneous, how do we make the right decisions?
Now, that is a great question. So I would say some things are, you know, inherently learned, right? Like I like eggs for breakfast. Sometimes we're just creatures of habit. I wear black shoes. I don't even think about it. Most of the time, your reactions are based on what you've already learned, right?
Now, this is going to get better than I planned. I like the way this is going. Let me ask you a question. When you're wearing your legal analyst hat and you're asked a question live on TV, how do you make up your mind which position you'll take on those issues?
Well, I like to think I've already thought about it. I'm knowledgeable in it. And I don't already come in with a preconceived notion. I research it. I think about it. I take the time. And whenever I say something, I feel confident in my answer.
How do you know what they're going to ask you?
Well, that's a great question. When I was in law school, we learned that you always have to predict what a judge is going to say to you. So you always have to predict what the questions are that are going to be asked of you. It could be something far left, but you got to be prepared, even unanticipated questions. Think about if you reverse the roles. If I'm asking myself, what would I want to know? What am I trying to get at? So I anticipate what those questions will be and prepare for it.
Should they be indicting Trump?
No, not on this. It's a really weak case. And by the way, the fact that this is the first case that they're bringing against the former president, you want to talk about something being politicized. I think there's a good argument that this is political. It's the weakest case from what we're seeing.
Okay, when it unfolds, we'll talk about it some more. But anyway, tonight I want to talk about making up your mind.
What about you? The audience, they don't want to hear from me. They like hearing stories from you. Can you highlight maybe some actual business example of making a decision?
Sure. I will tell you, though, most decisions for me come from instinct or from learning experience, and I'd have to say that. But there are a lot of things that you have to think about. You want a business example? I have one. Let's go back to Always in Fashion for a minute and talk about the fashion industry. Fashion industry is made up of really retailers. The big business is retailing. It has changed somewhat dramatically that part of that retailing world is now online. And you can purchase from retailers online like Macy's or Bloomingdale's or Nordstrom. They have their own websites. But you could also purchase from brands. Ralph, DKNY, Calvin, my favorites, if you will. Van Heusen, my sponsor. They all have their own websites. But let's take a moment to think about this great question. Costco. You ever think about clothes? Do you ever think about going to Costco, Jesse?
No, I don't. I think about the giant cakes that they make in the back and the giant rotisserie chickens and getting 75 toilet papers. I don't quite think of the clothes. Maybe I should be.
How about Target?
I've been in Target. I look at the clothes in Target. I do. I don't think I've bought anything, but I take a look.
Okay, that's fair. But here's the reason I'm asking, because you asked me for a real-world business example. Both Costco, who I've done business with in my career, is an amazing retailer. They know what they want. They respect your brand. They pay you on time. They do everything you can hope for from a retailer. Target is different. I've shopped in Target many times. The first time I ever went, I was looking for a TV stand. And when I went there, I happened to see their product. And being from the industry, I went in and I looked at their product. And for what they were doing in men's basics at the time, simple V-neck sweaters, polo shirts, their quality was excellent and the price was fair. And I learned to respect Target for many things. Do I buy apparel there anymore? No. But anyone in business have to determine whether or not they want to sell their products at Costco or Target or TJ Maxx, because there are issues that come into play. And there's only one reason in business. What reason are we in business for, Jesse?
Oh, that's very simple. To make money.
Yes, sir. So Costco buys tremendous quantities, and therefore they're very, very high on everyone's radar screen, except, of course, if you're a luxury maker, because that form of distribution, warehouse clubs or Target discounting, you won't find designer brands. Once in a while, you'll find a collaboration, but it's not indicative of a brand making a decision to sell that channel of distribution. When you look at brands, you have ways to treat them. Are you going to make a deposit in your brand account or withdrawal? Although those are great retailers, although I've done business with them, I have to say they're really not brand depositors. You don't look at those people to build brands. So you have a question every time you're in business. Shakespeare said, to be or not to be. In business, you're often confronted with a real-life interpretation of Shakespeare. To sell or not to sell? That is the question. And here's the thought that goes into it. And you asked for a real-world example, I'll tell you. We're in business the only reason. One, make money. But at the same time, when we're entrusted with a brand that has a future, you have to make sure that those things you're doing are all in line with the end game. Do you agree with the end? Because you begin with the end in mind. I learned that from Stephen Covey in his book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective Individuals. You have to ask yourself, is this what I want to do? And every major manufacturer considers their off-price distribution. And it requires due diligence. Questions, questions, questions. You have to ask yourself, what is the big picture? You have to even think about the minutia, because the minutia counts. You have to ask people their opinions. You ask me for a real-world example. Every day in my former life, no matter what company I was with, no matter what brands I manage, we have to ask ourselves these questions about distribution. Do you know who the largest seller of wines in the United States is, Jesse?
Manischewitz?
Costco. They sell more wine than anyone. So if you are a luxury wine company, you make champagne, which is wine, do you sell Costco? And if you do, will it hurt the image of the brand? One might say if you maintain the price structure with everyone else, then maybe not. I subscribe to the feeling you should sell your products wherever the consumer is willing to purchase them. But I don't agree with discounting the price. So there's a very complicated issue. You ask me a question, that's how you make up your mind. By knowing the facts, asking the question, make sure you do all the diligence so you know what can be the end in mind. I have to make up my mind tonight, and I've just made up my mind to take a break. We'll be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. I remember so clearly when Donna Karan hit the scene. It was explosive. She was one of the most dynamic designers in the history of the world, and her product was very, very different from anything anyone in America had ever seen. She was modern. She was New York. She was vibrant. When you looked at the business in those days, there were companies like Ralph Polo or Tommy Hilfiger or Nautica, great traditional American brands, but no one identified modern. You wanted modern, you had to find Giorgio Armani. Black was the basis of his presentation, and everything about it had a European chic to it, but not in America until Donna came. Donna was a New York life resident, understood the pace of the city, understood what it was like to live in the city that never sleeps, that goes 24/7. Donna invented DKNY, Donna Karan, New York. I'll never forget the first time I saw it. I was in London, and they had built a magnificent four-floor store in a building with an open roof, a glass ceiling. Glass ceiling, I suppose, representing we're changing the way things are done. DKNY was, frankly, nothing short of extraordinary, both men and both for women. Black was the basis of the brand, although the many colors played off the palette, and they all looked good against black. Let's face it, we live active lifestyles. We get up in the morning, we do different things. We work, we play. Evenings is about entertaining and seeing the best that New York has to offer. DKNY offers a collection of menswear and womenswear, but footwear, accessories, suits, shirts, ties, women's sportswear, women's activewear that speaks to the lifestyle that goes with you wherever you want to go. And it's always modern, it's always contemporary, it's always at the forefront of what fashion should be with a New York lifestyle in mind. I've lived the life. I was the chairman and CEO of Donna Karan. I understood what that brand meant. And I can tell you, if you want to step out and you want to walk away from your traditional roots, if you want to be modern, you want to make a statement of elegance, but in a New York kind of way, with the sophistication of New York, as a person who understands all the city has to offer and all the modern lifestyle in America is about, you find it everywhere. People are forcing themselves, urging themselves to get out and be special and live this lifestyle. DKNY. You can find DKNY at DKNY.com or in Macy's. I'm telling you guys and I'm telling you ladies, you can look chic, you could look special, you look right. DKNY.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
I've been thinking, I don't want to be told what to do. I don't like having appointments. I don't like setting dates. I don't like making phone calls. I hate making phone calls, multiple phone calls on the same issue. I want to be left alone, basically. But the more I try, the more I realize that I can't and I have to do things in line with the world. And part of that is making decisions. Get up in the morning, I don't want to think about anything, but I have to decide whether I want to eat or not and what I'm going to eat. I just can't get around from it. I have to decide how I want to spend my time. I have to decide where I want to shop, what I want to do, and on and on and on and on. And the more I try and simplify my life, the more difficult it gets because, like it or not, I'm one of you guys. Even though I don't want to be bothered, don't call me. Don't try and set up dates with me. Don't try and be my friend. I'm not looking for friends. I don't want anything. In fact, every time I go to a store and purchase something, they ask for my phone number or my email address, and I actually say to them, I have enough friends, thank you. And they can't force you to do it, thank God. But anyway, I'm thinking tonight about making up my mind and how difficult it is to make it up. And I've been thinking about times in my life where I was forced to make a decision one way or the other and make up my mind, and had those decisions been wrong, it would have had an adverse effect on me, in particular in my career. And I wanted to give you a great example of how in business, you have choices to make. You have to make up your mind. And then once you do, what are you going to do to make a successful decision? I have to go back to November 17th, 1988 at 4:35 p.m. Now you must wonder, how is it that I remember the exact day and the time of what I'm about to tell you? Because it was one of the most hurtful things that ever happened to me in my life. I was the president of the Van Heusen shirt division. I was never happier in my life. If you ask me, starting out as a clerk, did I have a dream that I'd be running the largest shirt company in the world? No. And not only did I never dream it would happen, it was fun. It was amazing. You know what a feeling it was? There were only three major shirt companies in America, and at that time we were number two, and I was the president of the division, and it was unbelievable. And then November 17th, 1988, 4:35 p.m., I get called down to the CEO of the company and the president of the company, and they said, come on in. I said, we've made a decision. We're taking you out of the presidency of the Van Heusen Company, and we're moving you into a corporate division to start a new business for us. I looked at them and said, no, you're not. I'm happy where they are. And they looked at each other, as they should. You know, one's the CEO, one's the president. I'm the president of a junior division. And they said, I don't think you heard us correctly. We didn't ask you if you want to. We're doing this. I no longer had the sweetest job of my life. I was looking at these two guys. My heart was breaking. I couldn't imagine how I'd tell my wife. I couldn't imagine what I would do the next day. I was heartbroken, I was sad, and I had nothing I could do about it. But I also had a choice. The first choice in making up my mind making a decision was instantaneous. When I looked at their eyes and I saw they were serious, and I realized no matter what I said, I wasn't the president of the Van Heusen Company anymore. I said, guys, I understand that you have something you need me to do, and whatever it is, I'm a good soldier, I love this company, and I'm going to do what it is. Tell me what you need. To this day, I mean, you're talking 30, 40 years, I can't believe this, but I said the right thing. And it's what they wanted to hear because they were evaluating whether or not I was, guess I'd be even remaining with the company. In my favor, they had very high regard for me, and what they asked me to do was critically important to the company. So I had the good sense of mind. Collect myself, understand who my audience was, understand what they probably wanted to hear, and make sure I executed it flawlessly because I wanted to keep my job and grow. During the course of the conversation, they told me, Mark, we have 500 retail stores in 5 different formats. We view going to 2,000 stores within the next 3 years. The issue for us is not whether we can open the stores, whether we can get the real estate for the stores, whether we can hire the people, whether we have the money to expand, whether we know how to run retail stores. The problem is we don't know enough about product. And we look at you as a product genius. You have always demonstrated that you can make things happen when it comes to product. We're a dress shirt company, and we make some sport shirts. But in order to open up these retail stores, we have one store called Cape Isle Knitted, and it's all polo shirts and sweaters, and we know nothing about that. We have the Izod company, which is activewear, which we do tennis, we do golf, we do swim, in addition to simple polo shirts and knitwear and sweaters. In the Van Heusen Company, we do suits, we do dress shirts, we do ties, we do pants. We know nothing about those businesses. Now, we've been able to open up the first 500 stores, assume for the moment there are 100 in each one of the brands, which also included Bass Footwear and Jeffrey Bean at the time. And Bass, of course, knew footwear, that we were vertical. But Mark, other than dress shirts, sport shirts, and footwear, we're not vertical. And all the products that we've bought for these 500 stores were buying through middlemen, third parties. So as retailers, we are not enjoying the integrated vertical margins that our competitors would be dealing with. So if there's another shoe company, let's say Rockport. Rockport has stores, but they basically only carry footwear, and they're vertical. So their margins are very high. They make a lot of money. They can advertise more. They can hire the best people. We're at a disadvantage. We need to be vertical. We need to be able to import all those products on a direct basis. And that's what we're asking you to do, to start up a division that will learn how to source all those products around the world and buy them and import them for our retail division so we could grow as we see fit, so we could reach the end in mind, 2,000 stores over these 5 concepts, and be a major player in retail. You see, Mark, while we do an amazing wholesale business, Wall Street gives a higher multiple to retailers. Therefore, retailer stock appreciates at a much greater rate than wholesale companies. And in the end, that's what our job is, to increase the price and the value of the company. And we need you to do this. And while we understand you love what you're doing, we hope that you'll learn to love what we're asking you to do, because this is critically important to the future. By the way, he was getting a new title, Corporate Vice President of Marketing and Product Development. So I've been into the corporate office. I was no longer a divisional person. They gave me a raise, minimal raise, but I was already doing well. But it was a critical crossroads in my career. And thank God, when I look back now, my facial expressions, my behavior, and the way I answered them was picture perfect. And I think they could see my eyes rolling like a slot machine, looking for sevens, trying to figure out what the next steps would be on how I can make this happen. They told me that the funds to do this was unlimited. However, they needed to get a plan from me to hear that I'd be able to do this. And they gave me the kicker. Mark, while we in corporate think this is strategically important for the future of the company, each of the retail divisions have their own people, their own president. They are getting product from other people. They're satisfied with what they're getting. You're going to have to convince them that what you're offering from us in corporate is better than what they're getting. Good luck to you. So I left their office. I went home. I told my wife I was miserable. And she looked at me like she always did. About what? I said, well, I'm no longer the president of the company. She said, well, they put you in corporate. I said, are you listening to me? She says, yes. Do you have a job? I said, yeah, I have a job. Did you get a raise? Yeah, I got a raise. She says, what are you complaining about? Whose side are you on? How dare you even ask me that? There's only one side I'm on. It's your side. But from my perspective, you're doing just great. And this is new and it's fresh. And you have a chance to build something brand new in your image and make a statement for the company. You know, I'm sorry I'm even talking to you. She says, I don't care if you're sorry. You asked me my opinion. You came home to tell me. I'm telling you, this is a great thing and you can make it great. I have all the faith in the world. Is that your mother or what, Jesse?
But you know what? She always knew the right thing to say. She always knew the way to look at things the right way. Amazing source for guidance, always. And by the way, this is for business. This is not even like family decisions. This is business. That's how right she was about everything.
Yeah, my mommy was amazing. So they gave me an office in the retail building. I kept my office in New York, but I also had to spend time now in New Jersey where the retail facilities were. And the first day I show up there, I meet with the chairman and CEO of the retail division, and he looks at me and said, Mark, I can't tell you how happy I am that the company has put you in this position. He said, I know this might not be what you want right now. He says, but you're going to make retail successful. There's no one more important to me in this division right now than you. What you're about to do for us is going to put us on the map. And of all the things I have to worry about, the greatest risk to our future is product. And I know of all the people I've ever met in my life, I have no more faith in anyone than you. Now, coming from the chairman of retail, who in the past, I suppose, because he was retail, I was wholesale, we had an adversarial relationship to a degree. Him saying this to me meant all the difference in the world. And you talk about making up your mind. I had to make up my mind to want this and do this. That certainly went a long way. And then he sat me down in his office. He said, from here on in, every time there's a retail meeting, you're invited. But here's the kicker, Mark. I can't force them to buy from you. Because if I do, and it doesn't work, I can't hold them accountable. I can hold you accountable, but that doesn't mean no good. And you have to convince the retail people, the president on down, that you are better than who they're buying from. When you're a president, when I came up from the ranks, if I said jump to people, they would say, how high? Now I'd go into this retail division and say, I have a concept called jumping. I know you don't know what it is, but allow me to explain it. It's if I come up with a great idea, I'm hoping you jump for joy and you take it. That's a big difference convincing people than telling them what to do. And I had to learn how to convince people rather than tell them what to do. So that's the first decision I realized I had to come by. What do I do? What's my first step? So if I'm going to sell Izod, who have activewear and sportswear and golfwear, how am I going to convince them that my designs will be better than theirs? So when I sat down with the group, I said to the Izod team, the retail team, who do you admire most in the categories of merchandise that you do in both men's and women's? I said, we could point to a lot of people, but if you ask me, nobody does it better than Polo. So what did I do? The first thing I realized is in order to get them to buy my product, I had to design it. So I had to build a design team. So in the case of Izod, I hired people from Polo. I either recruited them outright from Polo direct, or I told my human resource department, I only want to interview designers from Polo. And sure enough, when I would recruit them and bring them in to give the retail team an opportunity to meet them in advance before I hired them, I wanted them to feel like they were part of the decision. They would meet these Polo people, and they loved them. And the minute I hired them, because they were part of the decision, the retailers were, they felt an obligation to help the people that they helped hire. The second thing I did, even before this, was we now have to import these products around the world. Now, Izod, let me stay with Izod, was making bathing suits, and at the time for men and women. And at the time, the hottest bathing suit makers were coming from California with one exception, Lacoste. Lacoste was amazing. French company. Villeperquin was another French company. They made the best swimwear I ever saw in my life. So the first person that was lent to me from the company was a young lady named Winnie Law. May she rest in peace. She passed away much too early in her life. But she was assigned to me. And she and I were going to travel around Asia together. And what I did with her is I sat down with her in New York. We went to New Jersey. And we met with each of the retail groups who gave us a sample of those items that were incredibly important to them, that they felt that if we could manufacture competitively and convince them that the quality was right and give them a better or equal price, they would purchase from us. So Winnie made a trip back to Asia. She was based in Hong Kong with all these products that she had, and she started going to the factories to source these products. And the brilliance of what Winnie did was she went to Taiwan and found all the bathing suit makers who happened to be making Speedo, Lacoste, Tommy Hilfiger, Nautica. And she walked through those exact factories and identified their making. And she brought the samples that we had with us that our guys had designed, and she showed them to them and started getting prices. And what happened was, is we were buying from middlemen. These were companies who were brilliantly entrepreneurs who would say to my retail division, what price do you want to sell your swimwear? Well, we want a ticket at $25, but this is an outlet store. We want the product to be worth $25, but because it's an outlet store, it's going to retail for $14.99. And at $14.99, we have to pay $7.50 for that swimsuit. And these entrepreneurs would go out to whatever factories, and they would buy them at as low a price they can because they had to sell them for $7.50 and sell them in turn to our retail group. So there, in fact, the manufacturer in Taiwan or Hong Kong or wherever they were making would make money. The middleman would make money, and in turn, our retail group would get it and make a 50% margin. Well, Winnie went to the factory direct, and I'll never forget the first trip I made after we learned we can do this. As I walked into the factory and said, we're very interested in these swimsuits, and I had samples from Lacoste that we were going to change and make them our own, but this is the quality we want, and do you have this fabric? And the manufacturer and Winnie started to laugh, and he brought out a pile of samples, and all of those samples were the exact same swimsuits that they made for Lacoste, Tommy Hilfiger, Nautica. Boom. I was in the factory.
Wait a second. Let me get this straight. You're saying it looked and felt the same. The only difference is the logo?
No, I'm saying they actually made the swimsuits for Lacoste. They were the manufacturer. So she found the exact people who we wanted to make swimwear with. So if I had any question about could this manufacturer make Lacoste, they were the manufacturer. And not only that, what they charged us was $3, not $7.50. So I went back to my retail division with those bathing suits. I put on a 10% surcharge, so it was $4, so I could make money, or $4.25. And instead of selling them to them for $7.50, they were buying them for $4.25. So their margins, which were 50%, were now 75%. It was huge, huge, huge windfall. So not only now did we figure out who we needed to design, we had a Jeffrey Bean retail division. That was all about designers. So the only people I would hire to design were from former designers. People who had worked for Calvin Klein or Michael Kors, Giorgio Armani, Ralph Lauren. We put the people in front of them who understood the lifestyle. Then I found the sourcing team. We used our own foreign office to set up a section within the foreign office. I hired the best operations person from PVH. They allowed me to hire the people from PVH so that we didn't need to have a startup. So I had the best importers, the best designers, the best prices, the best everything, and we began this company. And I did it because I had a view of the end in mind. I had to make decisions. And by meeting with the people, talking with the people, realizing by make them partners, because I couldn't force them to buy, but making them partners from the hiring process to the idea to the concept with the support of the CEO of retail, getting them great design, great product, at great prices, I had developed a plan that can work. And the last thing I did is I assigned and hired separate people dedicated to each of the five retail divisions. I made decisions and I made up my mind to be successful and to deliver. The first year, the plan was to do $5 million. I did $15 million in sales to the retail stores. The second year, the plan was to do $20 million, and I did $47 million. And the third year, which wasn't even in the cards, it was at $50 million, we did $400 million. We became huge. I became huge. I was named president of PVH International, a name that I came up. Phillips Van Heusen International, I took the corporate name, threw on the international, it fit, and I became the president of that division. And I came back, and it worked, because I began with the end in mind, and I made up my mind to be successful. Back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
As one of the world's most celebrated fashion designers, Karl Lagerfeld was renowned for his aspirational and cutting-edge approach to style. His unique vision of Parisian chic comes to America through Karl Lagerfeld Paris. He has women's collections, men's collections, ready-to-wear, accessories, shoes, and bags. The fashion house Karl Lagerfeld also offers a range of watches, eyewear, and premium fragrances. You can explore the Karl Lagerfeld collection at karllagerfeldparis.com. But it's more than that. I, for one, love to shop. I love going around and seeing what's happening and what catches my attention, what would make me feel good to wear. Now, I don't wear the women's wear, obviously, but I can appreciate it, and they look amazing. If you want to look right, you want to have clothes that fit you well, you want to look like you're wearing something that's very expensive, that's exclusive for you and yours, you can find it at very affordable prices at Macy's or KarlLagerfeld.com Paris. The women's ready-to-wear fashion is extraordinary, as well as the handbags and the shoes. I, for one, wear men's clothes, unlike my appreciation of women's clothes. I'm a modern guy. I want to look current. I want to look the way I want to feel. I go out at night, I'm in black, and Karl Lagerfeld is my buddy. Clothes are great. They fit great. And they have little tweaks and touches, whether it's a stripe on the sleeve or button at the neck or on the shoulder. There's a lot of details that go into Karl Lagerfeld. Because he's always been, he always had been, one of the world's great designers. And this legacy, it goes on and on. I can't speak enough about it except to say to you, you want to feel good about yourself. You want to know that you're dressing properly. You want clothes that fit you well. Karl Lagerfeld Paris at Macy's or KarlLagerfeld.com.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Make up your mind. It's a thought. It's a demand. Make up your mind. Actually, when someone says that to me, it's disrespectful. Make up your mind. Thinking about making up my mind and how difficult it's become of late. Spent the whole winter in New York, the cold, the this, the that. Haven't been working other than the radio show. Have a pretty, pretty simple life where I come and go as I please. I've never been a big fan of humans, so I kind of avoid most of them. And I'm in control. I remember I used to travel with people all over the world. And when you travel with a group of people, whether you're the boss or you're one of many, where do you want to go for dinner tonight? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? How about this appointment? That, you know, it's so much work. I started when I was able to call my own shots. I traveled alone. I never traveled on a plane with anyone. I could have 10 people meeting me somewhere. That's okay. I'll meet you there. But nobody's going to tell me how to travel. And that's what I want to talk about. And I've been talking about tonight. And I gave some real good business examples. And now I want to talk personal stuff. Jesse, I want to talk with you and me about making up your mind. I got a quandary here. All right, first up, I bought a Defender.
Wait a second. You're going back to the car conversation from the last 2 weeks? I think people are sick and tired of the car.
Well, those following along, I've been dissatisfied with the purchase. The guy charged me over sticker price. I paid it like a fool. I like the car, no complaints. But now I got the note from Range Rover, Land Rover Corporate, asking me to comment on the experience. And on one shoulder, I have the salesman begging me to give them a great rating. And on the other side of the shoulder, you charge me over sticker price. I'm not happy. So what should I do? I can't make up my mind. And on top of which, you and I were in the car the other day, right? Your fiancée's in the back seat, and she can't open the door. I thought she was an idiot. What do you mean you can't open the door? So then I thought I was an idiot. I had the baby control on. I took off the baby control. Turns out, 4 days and counting, the car is in the freaking shop being repaired. I paid overpriced for a brand new car I have for 7 days, and it's in the shop being repaired.
And what did we learn? We learned that there's a motor for each door to open it up, which Is that not the scariest thing? That there's a possibility all the doors wouldn't work? You'd have to think about how you would escape a car. What would you do?
Hit it with a shoe, hit it with a screwdriver. I don't know, maybe you got to carry a hammer in the car now that you noticed. The point is, I can't make up my mind whether to drop the dime on them and complain about them to Land Rover or not. And it's really annoying me because I've been thinking about it a lot. I got to know for 3 days.
Well, before I go into some of my examples, do you want the serious hard to make up your mind or the funny hard to make up your mind?
Make up your mind and do whichever one you want.
You know, you talk about my fiance. How hard is it for people to find the right person to marry? Make up your mind about who to end up with. How about that?
Yeah, it is insane. When you consider in the scheme of things that I think 50% of the marriages end up in divorce, it's crazy.
But today, with the dating apps, you have so many choices. It's hard to make up your mind about who you're going to be serious with.
I read an article the other day that said guys are going from girl to girl because they can, and that porn came on, and because of porn, they don't feel the urge to be with women anymore. How sick is that one?
Yeah, no, that's disgusting to think about and highly dangerous moving forward.
Well, you think about it, Donald Trump running for president, one of the things he wants to do is incentivize young people to have children. There's a reason. Population's shrinking. People aren't procreating.
Here's a tough decision that I think a lot of people out there have. When do they leave a job? That's always becomes a big, tough decision when to how to pull the trigger on that one.
That's very simple. When to leave a job? One. First, you have to ask yourself, are you happy? Do you like where you are? Do you enjoy what you're doing? Because that is the biggest decision in what you're doing. Now, if you're not being treated fairly, if you're not making money, this is an issue, but you don't have to leave. There's ways to negotiate. If you think you're in a dead end, that you can do more, that you can do better, that you have a brighter future that you see in front of you in a company, that's a reason to leave. But there's only one rule in leaving a company, and that rule is, Jesse?
You only leave a company when you have another job lined up. You never leave without a job.
Thank you, sir. If you make up your mind for the right reasons, position, money, opportunity, and happiness, whatever balance of those are important to you, you never leave without a job. Me, you know what's been on my mind? You know what's like something I fight with every night? Sweets.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
You know, my diet is like if I was a Navy SEAL and you told me to go lose weight, I'd do it the way a Navy SEAL would. He couldn't have been any more rigorous or committed to losing weight than I have been. Now, for the last 2 years, I've been maintaining that weight, and it is a fight. And every day you have to make up your mind. Do I eat that sweet? Do I take a piece of ice cream? Do that. That's always a tough one. And most times, more than not, I make up my mind that the famous Kate Moss model said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. And that's where I end up making my decision. What else, Jesse, are you working to make your mind up?
This is so specific to you that I how could I not include this? Because this is a struggle for you every day, I imagine, and how to make up your mind about whether to do this. Whether or not you are going to say that one comment to somebody, whether it's to make fun of them, whether it's to teach them a lesson, whether it's to tell them something, because you always say, when you think you're funny, you get yourself into trouble. I always see that little inner workings in your mind about, I haven't made up my mind if I'm going to say something to somebody.
Well, yeah, your fiance had a bridal shower this week, and we all went. You know, the men stayed in a separate area. We were like outcasts. But I was great. I remembered everyone's name. I was pleasant. I didn't ask anybody if they listened to my show, and I didn't get into trouble. I was a good boy. I made up my mind before I went there that I was going to be a pleasant, very, very nice guy to support this bridal shower, even though I didn't know what a bridal shower was.
By the way, while we're on the subject of that real quick, I'll tell a very quick story. This was so many years ago. I was dating a girl. I brought her over to meet you, and you were funny and whatever. This just shows you what her problem was. She took offense to it. And afterwards, she gave me such a hard time about the way that you said things, and I thought she overreacted. So I say to you afterwards, when it's just you and me, I go, listen, she got a little insulted about some of the things you said. And you go, really? You go, okay, I'll tell you what. I made up my mind. Next time, I'm not going to say anything to her. So the next time we're all out, you're so quiet. And at the end of the dinner, she gives you a hug, and she whispers into your ear, See, if you don't say anything, you won't get in trouble.
Gone. I made up my mind. She's gone.
Yep. So making up your mind about what to say or what not to say. I have something that's easy to make up your mind about. You ready?
Yeah, I'd like to see.
How many times do people go into stores and they try something on and they're spending this time like wondering if it looks good or not? I say, you know in 1 second whether you want to buy that or it looks good on you. It's the easiest thing to make your mind up about. If you get that little feeling this doesn't look right, take it off, don't buy it.
You know, you're 100% right except for one thing. You said whether to buy it or whether it looks good on you. I agree with you. 1 second you know whether it looks good on you. 1 second you know if you really want it or you really need it. 1 second you know whether you'll never wear it or not again. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. What's it like for you when you say to me, do you want to go to dinner? Or daddy, you want to come into the city?
It's kind of like if I asked you, do you want to buy a company? It's like this question I ask you is the most monumental, biggest decision of your life. You agonize over it.
Do I want to get in a car, drive to New York City with all the traffic, with all the lanes closed, with all the congestion, find a place to park, work my way through the mutants and the predators to meet you at a restaurant, and spend 2 hours getting in and out? No, not interesting, not easy. Offsetting it is seeing your smiley face and having a nice time together.
Very nice. But all I'm asking, I'm like, hey, did you want to have dinner or not? I didn't want this whole like Ocean's 11 plot that you have to go through to get a dinner.
The point is, I made up my mind again. I'm through with this. We talked about tonight, it's making up your mind. The decision matrix, how do you get there? What's important? Who do you want to be? As always, packaging yourself is as important as the products you package. Take a break. Back in a moment.
Always in fashion.
Spent a lifetime of my career building the Van Heusen brand. And I am so pleased that they're back with us now, talking about suits. Men, we're dressing up again, and it's become cool to wear a suit. Suits can be worn on multiple occasions in multiple ways. You could wear a suit formally to go out at night or to an event. You could wear a suit to the office with or without a tie. If you look closely now, fashion trends. Suits are being worn with turtlenecks or mock necks. The choices are endless, and every one of them looks right. You can really, really look the part. I believe that packaging yourself is as important as the products you package. And wearing a suit is one of those things that make men look their best. Van Heusen invented a new idea. It's called the Cool Flex Suit. It's been engineered with stretch technology, giving you the most comfortable fit and mobility. It's wrinkle-resistant fabric. It's cool, moisture-wicking. It makes it perfect for all occasions, as we discussed just now. This new style of looking sharp while feeling cool and comfortable is amazing. And I'm so excited that the Van Heusen company is involved in this new technology and is embracing the whole idea of dressing up. Let's not forget, Van Heusen made its name with dress shirts. It's only proper that the suit business follows strongly in its wake. You can find Van Heusen Cool Flex men's stretch suits at JCPenney or online at jcpenney.com. Guys, they're great. You should go look at them. I've been shopping for fun lately. And while I'm out, I always look at men's and I look at women's, what's going on. And I was particularly interested in DKNY because of their sponsorship of the show. I went downstairs at Macy's, 34th Street, to look around, and I saw DKNY activewear. And I promise you, ladies, it is sensational. From the sports bras to the crop tops to the leggings and the sweats. It really is a great look. And DKNY had begun as an all-American brand. Dressing, casual clothes, and jeans. And the stuff looks incredible. And right now, the colors and the styles is so exciting that I feel great about the company. I always do. I wear the menswear all the time. I've had situations where I've gone to big events and been interviewed on TV or the radio, and someone comes up to me with the microphone, and like they always do, who are you wearing? And here I am, this big shot with big company, and they say, well, I'm wearing a DKNY. And they laugh and say, no, you're not. I actually have one on the internet where you could see me. They ask me what suit I'm wearing, and I say DKNY, and open it up, and there's the DKNY label. Great fashion. It fits well. It looks right. It's designed to make you comfortable in the city. It goes from day into night. You can wear it in the morning. You wear it in the afternoon, and you look cool at night as well. It's great for the office. It's great for leisure. But I was talking about the DKNY activewear. First time I really became aware of it, Jesse and I were up at Sirius Radio. He was doing a job for Sirius. He does a Dan Abrams show. He fills in on the POTUS network. And we were in the lobby, and this hip-hop group came up with this really great-looking Latino singer. Girl, young, beautiful, and she was wearing a DKNY sports bra. And I said to myself, this is amazing. I actually went to Macy's to see it. And I'm excited about the brand. And I tell you what, ladies, DKNY always has great fashion for work. Always wonderful dresses and things that you'd wear. Their accessories are great. The shoes are always very cool. But activewear in particular right now looks sensational. And being that everyone's athleisure and activewear, it's a great time. DKNY, go take a look.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
I hate making decisions. I am appalled when I have to make up my mind. I prefer to just play it fast and loose and deal with what happens when it happens. I've earned the right, I believe, that. And more times than not, with this lifestyle I'm living, on the radio, very few commitments, I can be the master of my own fate. But the reality is all of us are forced day in and day out to make personal choices and business choices. My advice to you, this is a show that I like to give advice, is be a good guy. Be a good gal. Put your head in the right frame of mind. Try and do the right thing. And certainly, if you're honest, you don't have to remember two stories, because when you're lying, you have to remember that lie plus the truth. Put yourself in a position to make the right decisions. And when you do, think them through. Because very often there are unintended consequences when you make a decision if you haven't thought it through to the end. Ask questions. Take the time to think through the outcomes. Begin with the end in mind. What do you want to accomplish? And if you do that, not only are you going to live a happier life, you're going to make decisions that you can live with, and you'll be glad you made up your mind. And most importantly, if you do things right, if you do things well, when you put your head in the pillow at night, you're going to sleep well. And with that, good night.